The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, we're going to talk about Wimbledon because there were scares for Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic on the first day of Wimbledon yesterday, and it's the return of a legend later today. Colm Buhig is here from Off the Ball. Hello.
Hi, Claire.
I forgot how much I loved Wimbledon until I saw the Djokovic match last night, and it was just the crack. Like, he was so raging when the crowd were cheering for his Chinese opponent. Did you see any of it?
I did, yeah. Woo.
Woo they was were his name, woo.
So it could be misinterpreted for booing.
Yes.
Or wooing a shot.
Well, I think Djokovic took it as they were cheering for him, and I don't like right. it.
And it's amazing that he's still like that, like 24 Grand Slams in.
No.
Like the greatest men's player of all time statistically.
Maybe we should like him for it, you know, that he's still passionate about the game.
I think if you want Djokovic to lose the match and you're in the court itself, you're present, your best bet is to be apathetic about the game. Just sit there and watch it. Because nothing riles Djokovic up more than being booed, than being written off. Or the other side,
yes,
where everyone's actually universally supporting him. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other with him. So it was probably the worst thing that could have happened for the Wu fans.
So sit there quietly if you don't want him to win.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It is hard to do. Because in my house last night, we were all laughing. It was just hilarious. He was getting so angry when people were cheering for Wu.
There was a great moment where Wu hit it long and Djokovic went to like fake head the ball in frustration. And you compare it to his two other, you know, potential greatest of all time, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, now both retired. And they gave very little away. Whereas Djokovic will tell you exactly how he's feeling at all times.
Yeah, which, you know, I do kind of like it. Like, I like the fact that he's in the game so long.
Yeah.
And that he still clearly so desperately wants to win, you know?
Yeah, well, he has this record. He wants his 25th slam. So he's level with Margaret Court on 24. Wants that 25th. Problem is, he has two big problems, actually. Jannik Sinner is one of them and Carlos Alcaraz is the other. Now, his problems are halved because Carlos Alcaraz isn't playing this Wimbledon. And Jannik Sinner won yesterday, but it was a tough match for him and he had a really bad fall in the third set and there was blood on his shoe. So for a moment there, it looked like Sinner may have had to retire from the match, and then suddenly it would open up for Djokovic again. But it opened up for Djokovic at the French Open.
Bleeding out through his shoe.
Yeah. And it's mad because if you see the fall, it's his ankles kind of give way. It's one of those things, if you watch it, because you'll easily find it, like if you type in Sinner now on any social media platform, you'll see the fall. And I challenge you not to wince when you see it.
Okay.
It's one of those, like, what looks like an ankle breaker. But then he got up and played on and he won the match.
I wonder how he cut his foot, though.
I don't know.
Strange,
I was thinking the same thing.
Tennis players are mad, though. And it is a mad game. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So intense.
It
you
is.
Know, I mean, the Andre Agassi book, which I feel like I'm always talking about on the show. But it, you know, it just, it takes years and years and years of, you know, hitting that ball back to a machine as Andre Agassi did. But also this mental strength and the fact that you're out there on your own for so long. It's a crazy game.
Yeah, it truly is. You're on your own completely. And do you ever notice they turn to their box where their coaches are and they castigate those people in the box if they make a mistake themselves? It's partially, I suppose, kind of cathartic to let it all out.
Yes.
But they are actually complaining to them as like, you told me to hit that shot there and it didn't work. And why is that?
But they're right.
But it's a weird. Have you ever played? I actually ever played tennis?
Yeah, I'm no good at it.
Unbelievably frustrating sport.
It's really frustrating and it's actually really technical because it looks like just like whacking the ball. It's just not.
No.
You know, it's not.
Because the net will infuriate you, hitting it wide will, hitting it long will, or then just your opponent.
Yeah.
It'll test you.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably
but
so.
All game, like most sports do.
They do.
Golf is the same.
Yeah, golf. Yeah, you can lose your mind playing golf too. But there is just something about tennis is, it's so hard to get it right and it looks so easy when you watch it on Wimbledon. And that's when people go out and play. Now this year, like they do every 4 years particularly, you could argue every 2 years, but every 4 years, particularly with the World Cup, they have to compete against that. So last night, the Djokovic match was on at the same time as the Germany-Paraguay game was starting, the World Cup. So people are going back and forth a lot. So like England play tomorrow evening at 5 against DR Congo in the last 32. So that will coincide with Wimbledon peak time. Having said that, it's a record year, and not in a good way, for the Brits at Wimbledon. It is Brits out.
Oh,
10 of the 11 have been knocked out already. It's the highest number of British players have been eliminated in the first round since records began in 2000.
And Emma Raducanu had that stress.
She pulled out on the eve of the tournament, yeah.
She's just had it.
I know. But the thing about Emma Raducanu is, right, if you reverse the order of her career, okay, so say she had loads of injuries all the time and was putting on the tournaments and then won that Grand Slam at the US Open at the tail end of her career, I think people would really love her for it. But there was an expectation when she won the US Open 5 years ago, she's only a teenager, she came through qualifying, which is three matches to get to the first round. She won that US Open. And ever since then, essentially, two things have happened to her. She's been injured loads and she goes through a raft of coaches. But this year, injuries continued. She got to the Queen's final, which is the kind of esteemed warm-up tournament before Wimbledon.
Yes.
She got to the final of that, but she lost it badly. So people were kind of excited that she had some semblance of form because she's an excellent player on her day. And then that news came, which is really disappointing. And then Jack Draper, who's probably the most famous men's player from Britain, he pulled out before his first round match against Taylor Fritz. So Cam Nouri was probably I think he was the highest seeded British player playing this year, and he lost yesterday in five sets.
So
in the last
set
tiebreak, yeah. So that's a big thing for BBC's coverage.
Right, having a British player in there. Serena Williams, though, is back. That'll be a big draw.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. I don't know how wise it is, though. I mean, let's see.
I think her justification, because she's in her mid-40s, right? And she's two kids, like. She's been away from the match.
44,
or the tennis.
Isn't she?
Yeah, 44. For a long time, she's been away. And her justification for coming back was, I just got bored at home. I mean, I'd like to try it. I'd like to try the idea of being that bored at home with that much money and that much acclaim. But I mean, that's why she said she came back. So she's playing in the first round this year. It is remarkable. I thought she'd come back doubles at the most.
Yes.
Because Nick Kyrgios, you know, the Australian player, mm-hmm. was kind of infamous. He got to the final 4 years ago in the singles. Probably the easiest route ever to get to a final. But he's back this year, but only playing doubles. And he's much younger than Serena Williams by about a decade and a half. So Serena Williams coming back and playing as a singles competitor in her mid-40s.
But she must know she's not going to make a show of herself.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good
point.
She
must know that.
That's a good point, yeah. That is true.
Unless there's no telling her and those around her have told her not to do it.
Yeah, look, she could be surrounded by yes people, but maybe she isn't. But I think you're right. I think it's important for her brand not to get annihilated.
Mm-hmm. But then does she care?
I thought, well, look, she's nothing to prove to anyone. But so then you say, like, nothing to prove to anyone. So why would you come back and do it? But she's just like, you can give loads of examples of how amazing she is. In 2017 at the Australian Open, she won that major, right? Which is no big deal. She's won 22 of them, I think, in total. She won that. She won it pregnant.
Yeah, it's incredible. She's incredible. They both are.
How upsetting that is for the rest of the field.
Wow.
Someone who's pregnant won the tournament.
And then we have Naomi Osaka coming out in the mad outfit, which she has been doing at other tournaments. But I just wondered at Wimbledon how much trouble she'd get in for this. Now, I know it was all white.
Yeah.
So that's how she gets across. But they're not even allowed. The women aren't allowed to wear shorts, are they? Has to be skorts.
Oh yeah, that's true, yeah.
So it's very strict.
It is. So Federer came out with a blazer a few years ago, but so that's allowed. I think Djokovic did the same yesterday. So I'm glad you asked me about Naomi Osaka, because I'm absolutely not reading out what I'm about to say. I just know this off by heart, that she came out to a full-length ruffled gown, right? Inspired by Japanese ceremonial dress.
Yes.
Do you want more information? I have it in my head.
Okay.
The dress was embroidered with cranes and cherry blossoms, and it was created alongside the Tokyo-based designer Hannah Yagi.
I don't know why she's doing this. Why is she doing it?
You sound upset. It bothers me.
Yeah, it annoys me.
You're upset with Serena coming back?
I want to... No, I'm really excited about that. If you're watching tennis, I want to watch tennis.
You don't want any of the ceremony?
I'll do the fashion somewhere else. That's how I feel about it.
So you just wanted her to go on the court ready to play?
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we're talking about it. If she had gone on the court ready to play,
no.
She wouldn't be discussed on your
don't
show.
Don't want to talk about her kimono and Japanese-inspired
dress. Are you
dress.
Into Wimbledon as much more or less than the World Cup?
Probably at the moment more, because the time suits me. The World Cup has been so all over the place time-wise. Like, there's no way. My son told me he was going to stay up till 4 a.m. this morning. Like, it didn't happen. But it's just, it doesn't fit in with your life in this part of the world, does it? Wimbledon does.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. There's a comfort to it too. David Beckham actually was at Wimbledon yesterday because he had to as part of his ceremonial duties. So he had to leave the World Cup in America.
Ceremonial duties?
He's part of like a Wimbledon committee or something. I want to make sure I'm right in that. But he has some sort of commitment to Wimbledon that he comes back and goes to it every year. Mm-hmm. So he was walking through the Wimbledon grounds with his mother, and he looked so annoyed to be there because he had a look of FOMO about him. It's like, I should be back in the World
Cup. Well, I'm sure they're still running all the ads over in America.
Oh yeah,
you know, he's still,
David Beckham will be okay.
Tills are still ringing for David Beckham. Thanks so much, Colm.
No problem.
That's Wimbledon. Do we get through much of the actual tennis there? We're just gossiping about
people. I just want to talk about Naomi Osaka, which is fine by me.
Thanks very much, Colm Buhig there from Off the Ball.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.